Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Mike Perea. Mike is the founder of the nonprofit Battlefields to Ballfields, which helps veterans integrate back into society by providing veterans with skills to officiate sporting events from anywhere from the high school all the way up through the pro levels. So welcome to the show, Mike. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background for those of us who maybe haven't heard of you in the past?
Well, I'm just kind of one of those guys that's I'm a referee at heart. I've been involved in officiating really since 1970 when I was 20 years old, and I started refereeing Pop Warner football games in East Palo Alto, California. And for some absurd reason, I fell in love with it. And so it became the passion of my life. I went from Pop Warner football to high school freshman and junior varsity football, then to varsity football, then to small college, then to a major college in out west in what was called the Pacific Coast Athletic Association, which then became the Big West. And then eventually, after 26 years of officiating on the amateur level, I got into the NFL. And so those 26 years prepared me for the shock of officiating an NFL game, which is a total different beast. The speed is like nothing you've ever seen, really, at every position. You know, you think about the NFL, you're those big lumbering offensive linemen. Well, those big lumbering offensive linemen are fast. And so it's a unique challenge to officiate. So I did that for 2 years, and I was doing some officiating administrative duties for the Western Athletic Conference. And the league expanded their officiating department, and they went through this whole process of interviewing people, and they chose to hire me to be a supervisor of officials. So in 98, I went in the office. I did it through the 2009 season, and then I retired from the NFL to come west to back home to California. And Fox reached out to me and said, hey, you know, we're thinking about a new concept here, a rules analyst, somebody that can help educate the fans. They kind of thought it was going to be on the internet and not live on television. But that very first game that we had in 1998, there was a controversial call between Detroit and Chicago. Calvin Johnson in the end zone ruled an incomplete pass. If it was complete, Detroit would have won the game, but they left it as incomplete as I predicted that they would. And thus my role was solidified that I'm more television than I am on the internet. But, you know, I'm an officiating junkie. I mean, I've been involved with it, like I said, basically when I was 20 years old in 1970. So 51 some odd years I've been, and maybe even before that, because my dad was an official even before I became an official. So I went from there to here where I am now, which is still doing it on Fox, right, on the football coverage.
Yeah, and the it seems like it runs in the bloodline, you know, with your father doing it as well, and it is an addictive kind of thing for some people, where not I don't want to say addictive, but it's something that you get passionate about, and a lot of people who are involved in it are very, very passionate about it.
You know, here's the thing: it's the uniqueness of it. I mean, I think that's what it is, because you're doing something kind of similar to the military, but you're doing something that most people don't have the courage to do. And, those that yell at the officials all the time, I mean, I always say the louder, the ones that yell the most know the least. And so when you're actually out there taking that criticism, I mean, you actually realize that you're unique. You have a strength. You have a strength to be able to take that. And I don't know, it's just weird, because your best friends become officials. I mean, my best friends basically have all been involved in officiating in some form. And it's a fraternity. And there are a lot of likenesses there when it comes to military. But it's just, it really is. It's a family.
Yeah, and I used to run the umpire program for the Little League that in our town that I used to live in, and you know, when you talk about the people who are yelling at the officials, the umpires, the referees, whatever the case may be, whatever the sport is, you know, we had that all the way down at the Little League level, and you know, these were just a lot of times they're just kids. They were, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old, and they were just kids who were out there doing their best, you know, calling balls and strikes and you know, all that kind of stuff, and you know, they got some calls wrong. You know, that's just the nature of it, you know, and but they would they the parents and the coaches, they would get heated, and I'd have to go and deal with it, and it's a strange phenomenon, you know,
You
and on the
know,
pro level, it's a little bit different, but it's the same idea. Like, you know, these are just people, you know, let them do their job, you know.
it's like amazing to me because if you go back and look at it, it's gotten worse and worse and worse, this hostility toward
Yeah.
officials. And it's led us to where we are right now. I mean, 75% of the people that sign up to officiate quit after 1 or 2 years. And if you ask them why they quit, it's because of sportsmanship. And it starts at the lowest level. I mean, you take all these people, surveys have been done. You take all these surveys that say, what group drove you out, which was the worst? And you gave them players, coaches, administrators, parents.
Yeah.
That was the one that led them to get out the most because you put a person who hasn't officiated before, where do they start? They have to start at the youth level. So you know the least. And so your confidence level is not that high in the first place. And then you get these parents screaming at you, and it's almost like it's acceptable for them to do that. And when they do it at that very young age, like in Little League, you know, then their sons and daughters hear this, and then they think it's acceptable for them when they become parents. You know, so
Right.
it needs to be reversed somehow. But I don't know how we accomplish that, but. You know, officials, it's interesting. They make mistakes just like everybody else does, but they make probably a lesser percentage of mistakes when you think
Right.
about their overall work. But when you come to sports, teams, you know, offense, defense, teams, I mean, a certain level of mistakes are tolerated. But when it comes to officiating, no mistakes are tolerated. So
Exactly.
it's like the expected success rate or accuracy rate is 100%. And in a game like football, where there's 22 players and at maximum there's eight officials, to see everything is impossible. But then again, you can't get the layman to accept that. You can't get them to accept that there's an impossibility there, nor can you get the layman and the parents to accept the fact that they are in the number one cause for where we are right now, which is officiating around the country is struggling in numbers because people aren't signing up to officiate because of the abuse. So therefore the shortages are countrywide. I mean, countrywide. And it's, you know, people would find out the hard way, I guess, that there's no game without officials. But and I don't think it'll ever get to that, but you know, you're seeing in like football, for example, in Sacramento, where I live, used to have six-man high school crews. Then they went to five, and now they're down to four in many cases for games because there just aren't enough people.
Right. And that's a shame because then the like you were saying before, even with eight officials, you know, watching the game, they're not going to get everything right. But when you now cut that number in half and now you only have four, it's going to be even worse. And then the problem just kind of gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's, you know, it's a hard thing. And you're right. I don't know how we solve that problem. But there's, you know, I mean, one way is to have more officials and maybe some officials who, you know, have a little bit more of a backbone who can have a little more confidence even
There you
at
go.
starting off level, you know.
There you go.
And so I'm imagining that this is going to lead into my next question. What the about talking about the spark, what drove you to create battlefields to ball fields? And you know, was it this need for more officials on the ball fields, or you know, was there something else involved with that?
It was just Scott, it was a convergence of two thoughts. I mean, I had met some homeless veterans in Los Angeles, and was very touched by the meeting that I had with them. And then shortly thereafter, I was driving to Oregon from California to see my good friend Roger Ruth and go to fish with him and play a little golf. And I'm driving and thinking, and then I'm thinking about the shortage of officials. And then I thought about my homeless veterans. And I thought, man, what do I look for when I was with the NFL or in college for that matter? What did I look for in officials? I looked for courage. I looked for confidence. I looked for concentration, people on a mission with goals, teamwork, communicate. Although, and then I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute now. Let's think about it. I didn't serve, but I know many, many veterans that have served. And, you know, in the military, that's kind of all those traits that they have. And as you said, somebody that has a tougher backbone. So I said, man, could we marry the two together so that we could help address the issue of the shortage of officials and help our veterans, give them something, give them a team. And that was the main thing for me, was to give them a team. Let them be a part of a team again that's on a mission, that helps their communities. And so as I drove and drove and drove, I'm thinking more and more about it. And I got kind of excited about it, came up with a battlefield, a ball field's name in Weed, California, on my way up. And then I told my friend Roger and then other people, but they all thought it was a great and a unique idea. And so I did the foundation 501c3 stuff and finally opened up, took the password off the, our site. And I'll tell you the one thing I found out, that there are a lot of veterans looking for things to do. We eventually got flooded with scholarship applications, and it was a thrill, but then also it was kind of overbearing because there were more applications than we were prepared to accept initially. And so we couldn't handle everybody, but you know, they saw this, they felt like they saw it as an opportunity. And their big thing was, because we asked them the question to tell us a little bit about themselves, their big thing was being part of the team again and serving their community and working with kids. And our foundations, we said, you know, it costs money to get involved in officiating because you got to buy all the equipment and officiating uniforms and stuff up front and pay the local association dues, background checks, all this stuff. So our foundation put together a scholarship for beginning officials to where we cover all expenses for 3 years. We get their uniform, we pay all their dues that they have for whatever it is they need for. We get them a National Association of Sports Officials membership, which gives them extra liability insurance should in fact a parent get really mad about a missed call and threaten to sue them or something like that. So we wanted to cover all costs for 3 years, and that's what we do. We're a small foundation, but we've given out over 400 scholarships in the 4 year period basically, and it's just been, I mean, it's just been really touching in some cases. Some who have admittedly have strong cases of PTSD have found this as an outlet. Certainly what we offer can never cure them, but what it can do is, you know, give them something to look forward to. And it's a sustained diversion from it because, you know, in many of the sports, you could work 3, 4, 5 games a week and pick up some extra money. So it's been terrific.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's great. I mean, the number of people that you've helped, you know, you said 400 some odd people have gone through this program that you've helped out. And that's incredible. And that just, I think, goes to show that there is a demand for this type of thing out there. Not only in terms of needing officials to work the games, but also on the veteran side, that there's people out there who are looking for this type of thing, you know, and going through it is just going to be all the more helpful for them and, you know, their futures.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's just been, you know, the one thing you look for, it's like that one trait that you think about, often not thought about when it comes to officiating, but it is so necessary, is discipline, because you have to discipline yourself. You have to discipline yourself to focus out, let that criticism from outside not affect you, and the discipline to stay in shape, and that discipline to know the rules. And that's why, you know, I felt that, you know, veterans and actives, because we're doing actives now too, a lot of them are getting ready to transition out. And we want to give them something that they can transition out to in whatever community they go to, whether it's home or not, but something they could do that can, you know, again, help them make some extra money. So it's fast.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's another great aspect as well, is having the you know, that the athlete side, because, you know, they already have that intimate knowledge of the game and everything. So that also helps. So let me ask, how does this work? So walk me through, like, a veteran who is someone who's getting out of the military, and the process that they go through from, well, I mean, literally everything from the battlefield to the ball field, like, you know, the name of the organization suggests. What's the whole process that they go through, and, you know, signing up with your organization and all the way to, you know, like the first game that they're officiating?
Process is really pretty simple. It's as far as the foundation, it's just for us to sign up, and that's usually sometimes the first step, most of the time the second step. But to go to battlefields, the number 2 ball fields, battlefields2ballfields.org, and you can apply for a scholarship. And that comes to us, and we basically don't do much background check ourselves. What we do is just verify that you're over 18 and verify that you're either in the service or you're a veteran of the service. And then you go to your local association in your local hometown area and you sign up with them. There's many ways to do it. You can just go online and say, football officiating in Topeka, Kansas, and up will pop the local association, and you can then sign up for it. Once you sign up for it, we ask our veterans and actives to pay the dues to the local association. That means they've joined. Then they send that receipt to us and we reimburse them. And then we get them their uniform. And then we get them their NASO membership. And then they're in the hands of the local officiating program, who does all the training. There are classes that they will have to go to before the season. And then they'll get them prepared to officiate the first game. Scott, the thing that's interesting to me, when you go back to 1972 or whatever it was, or 73, to work when I got into the high school association, I mean, it took me, I don't know, 4 years to work my first varsity high school football game. And then we're in such dire straits around the country right now with the shortages that first year officials end up working varsity football games in their first year in many, many cases. And so they get to it right away and get the check. And the whole thing with us is we want the check to go into their pocket and not to pay for their uniform, not to pay for anything else. So it's just a matter of, the second way is many, many veterans join a local association first, and then they apply for a scholarship, which, again, as long as we verify their service, that's it. Then they're good to go, and we take over from them. So the key, there's 2 ways to go about it. There's apply directly to battlefields2ballfields.org, or to go to a local association and say, hey, I want to join the local association. I want to become an official, whether it's volleyball, basketball, whatever. And then you join these, then you send us an application and we take it over from there. So it's that's basically the process.
Yeah. And I mean, that's great, because you may not realize, other people may not realize, that there is a cost involved in some of the things in terms of the uniforms and other equipment that they,
especially if you're a baseball, required to have. You're going to be a baseball umpire. That's the expensive one, because you've got the shin guards, the 2 types of shoes. You've got all that stuff that you got to pay for.
Right. Yeah. And when I was doing it, we were just on the little league level, but we still made sure that they were dressed appropriately so that they look like officials, so that they didn't look like they just came off the street, you know, wearing, you know, shorts and a t-shirt or whatever. You know, they actually looked like they were, you know, real umpires, you know, that you would pick off of a major league game. And we made sure that they look the part, because that's part of the perception too, from the parents who are in the stands, or the coaches or the players. If you have someone who doesn't look like they know what they're doing, then you're probably going to treat them like they don't know what they're doing. And when they look like they fit the part, then you're going to be a little bit more likely to treat them with the respect that they deserve, which is unfortunate, but it is necessary.
You know, you talk about first impressions. That's very important.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so a follow-up to the last question that I had there is, you know, as far as who is this service available to? I'm assuming it's available to all branches of services, but, you know, is there any other requirements other than having served in one of the branches of the military?
Just having served in any one of the branches, as long as you're 18 years old. I don't care if it's a Vietnam veteran. If it's a Vietnam veteran who's my age that wants to get involved, that's fantastic. There's not an age limit at all when it comes to that. So as long as you can prove you served in any capacity in the service, then you're eligible.
Awesome. Yeah. And how about like the sports that you work with? Is there any limit to the sports that you work with, or is it open to, you know, any sports? I mean, pretty much everything needs some sort of official, right?
Yeah, it's open to everything. Now, I don't really have access to training areas for an MMA boxing, MMA ref, or even boxing at this point, but pretty much anyone after that. I mean, hockey and of course track and field, volleyball, softball, baseball, basketball, men's, women's, football. I mean, we'll find a way for most any sport.
Yeah, and that's great too, because, you know, like there, someone who may have joined the military, you know, after playing, you know, high school, you know, they were in track and field or something like that, and that's where their passion is, that's where their interest is. They may not be interested in football or baseball or whatever, and so it's good to know that there's options out there for people. It's not just limited to any one sport.
Other thing, Scott, too, is that, you know, we have many veterans in our program who they started in football and they really liked it, you know, and then they thought, you know what, I'd like to try umpiring too. So they can apply for a second scholarship and we'll give it to them, and we'll cover all sports. So we have some three sport officials now who, you know, they just get into it and they see that they're part of another team. And then they see, hey, I'm making some money. And if I keep doing other sports, I can make more money. And so we're like happy to award somebody three scholarships.
Well, that's great.
As long as it's the first year, you're just starting that sport. That's the only thing. If you've already done it for a year, you don't qualify. It's just for people that are starting in a particular sport.
Right. And that's to kind of get your feet on the ground and get yourself into it without, you know, that financial involvement, you know, where you have to buy all the equipment and everything, because right. if you already have the equipment, then I guess in that case, the scholarship isn't really
right,
you know, there for you. Right. So, you know, and that's a good point that you bring up too, because someone who may just, you know, do football games, you know, that's a limited season, you know, it's not a year round sport. And so, you know, you can get involved in baseball, which is a you know, a season that is a little bit longer, or, you know, basketball, other, you know, winter sports, other sports throughout the year. And that way, you could make an income ongoing, you know, throughout the year by officiating these different sports. And that's a great thing to do, you know?
Hey, Scott, I started out in 1970 doing Pop Warner football in East Palo Alto. I got $10 a game, $10 a game. I worked three games and got $30 cash. I thought it was a bonanza. Sacramento now, right. You work three games on a Sunday in the Sacramento area in youth football, $260. But man, how times have changed. I mean, and it becomes, in that case, I mean, I'd give up a Sunday watching me on television if I could go make $260. I mean, that you get a lot more for that than you get from hearing from me what the heck a catch is or something like that.
Right. Well, we're not trying to turn people off from watching you on television either, but you're right. It's, you know, if you want to get out there and you want to be more active instead of just sitting on the couch and watching Mike on television, I mean, you can certainly, you know, do this type of stuff and officiate the games and, you know, make a little bit of money, you know, pretty decent money as well, you know, for an afternoon of running around a sports field, you know?
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of veterans, you kind of touched on this before, but there's a lot of veterans who struggle with finding the camaraderie that they lost once they left the military service. And so, you know, Battlefields to Ballfields helps those veterans find that sense of belonging, right? What you're saying, a lot of your friends are other people who were officials, you know, referees or whatever throughout their careers. You know, and that helps those veterans find that kind of connection, that camaraderie, and that bond. Also, with people.
At the local association, we get them mentors. We encourage the local association to get them a mentor who is a veteran. I mean, that's a key thing because veterans understand each other a lot better than, you know, someone who's not a veteran. So that doesn't happen always, but we try to get to that point where it's veteran on veteran.
Yeah, no, and that's great too. And I found through doing this podcast, all the veterans that I talked to, where we maybe have never spoken to each other before, but we'll start a call just like we're doing right now between you and me, and we'll pick up just as if we knew each other for 10 or 15 years. Yeah. And you know, you're right. There is like a common understanding and language that we use, and just the way we talk and carry each other ourselves. It just is. You know, much easier to jump into those kind of conversations. So it's nice to know that there might be another veteran out there who can mentor you through the whole process, you know? Okay. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, part of the reason why, just for the audience, part of the reason why I interview guests like Mike is because there's so many services out there that are geared towards helping veterans. And it might be overwhelming to try to comb through all of them on your own, but also a lot of them are not widely known as some others. So I want to try to promote those types of services and those types of organizations to other veterans to help them. And I've seen so many veterans say, oh, I've tried, you know, this program, that program, I've tried art therapy, I've tried, you know, all these different things and it just didn't work for me. And then they just give up on themselves. They come close to just giving up. And looking back at my military service, I don't know too many times where just giving up is acceptable, you know, where it's okay to just quit on a mission. So it baffles me when I see so many vets reach out and reach that point. Where they perceive it to just be a dead end, so they just quit. And we've talked before on this podcast about you know, corporate career programs, and maybe a corporate job isn't what is the right thing for you. Maybe you're looking for something a little bit more physical, you know, something that involves, you know, maybe the youth and sports and things like that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that either, you know? And so what Mike is offering here, in my mind anyway, is a unique program geared towards veterans who like to be active and involved in sports. And it's a different program than others that we've highlighted on this show, which is why I wanted to have Mike on and talk to him about the program and what it offers to veterans. And I think it also goes to show that just because you think that you've tried everything, you're probably mistaken. You probably haven't tried everything. You know, there's a lot of things out there, and there's probably other programs out there that are tailored to you and your lifestyle as well. And this is just another one of those that I wanted to highlight and talk about and bring it to people's attention to say, hey, look, this is something else that's out there, you know, and hopefully, you know, from Mike's experience, you know, it's probably seen some very good success with the veterans who've gone through the program, I'm imagining.
Success to me is the fact that when you look at the retention rate, for example, in amateur sports right now, officiating, the retention rate is like 25%, 75% give up. The retention rate in Battlefields to Ballfields in our staff is like 80%. So it actually validates what you said about you don't give up. You know, you don't give up. There's a lot of reasons why you quit. I mean, it could be that you move, could be a job situation that doesn't give you the time, but the retention rate is much greater than us because you don't give up.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think having that background, that military background, the discipline, the self-confidence, and that, you know, being able to stand up for yourself, for your calls, for the players on the field, and being able to do what's right, you know, having that integrity to do what's right while you're out on the field. I just think that the qualities that veterans bring to this are just a perfect storm, and it comes together so well, with the officials that you need for these games, and the qualities that the veterans have. I think it just is a perfect synergy, and I commend you for coming up with this idea. It's not something that I think I would have come up with on my own, but having been in that position, working in that field, for so many years, it just opened your eyes to, what it is that what qualities that you need to have, a successful official in these games. And it's just, I think, a great program and a great opportunity for a lot of veterans.
Well, I urge people that are listening to this podcast to apply, veterans to apply, apply. And you can always go to meetings and find out if you like it or you don't like it. If you don't like it, you don't have to do it because, applying lets you, gets you into the program and you will, find out when you go to the meetings if you like it or don't. But if when you do apply for a scholarship, how do you hear about us? We asked that question. Please put Drive On, because if you do, I'm gonna, because I like the Drive On hat so much that I'm looking Scott wearing. He's gonna send me one of those. If you put that you heard about us from Drive On, I'll send you a B2B hat, battlefields to ball fields. For everyone that applies for a scholarship, we'll send one out to you.
Oh, that's
That's
awesome.
appreciation for hearing it on this program. And I hate to cut it a little bit short because I have to go to the airport, but it's programs like these that will make our foundation even more successful than it is. And the almost a great way to ensure that you will like this is if you find another one of your buddies, get another one of your buddies, another veteran along with you to sign up so you can do it together. And sometimes, going into a cold environment with people that you don't know is not fun, but going into an environment with a friend of yours, into a group of people that you don't know is a lot more fun. So I would encourage everybody. I'll even reorder more hats so that I've got plenty if we get a lot of responses here. But it's programs like Scott that enable the word to get out of small things like ours, and we are small and we are out of California, but I think we're in approximately 38 states now around the country. So, unless you live in London, or somewhere, you're pretty much assured to get accepted in our program, and we would just love to have you. Remember now, we will support you for 3 years. We'll support them for 3 years. So the first year we buy the uniforms and all the expenses, and then years two and three we pay all the dues and all the registration stuff that's required after that. You want to fill in some stuff on your uniforms, you can do that on your own, but we'll pay all those other costs. So we would just love to help you and have you, because it will give you something to do that's outdoors in some cases, that's exercise, and believe me, you'll be helping kids. You'll be helping kids. And that's the thing. You'll be a role model helping kids. And they may not like you when you make a call that goes against them. But I always say the thing to remember in officiating is the people that make the most noise know the least. And
Right,
that's
exactly.
key to officiating.
Yeah, and so I'm going to encourage all listeners to head on over to battlefields to ballfields org and sign up. We're going to try to get them into all 50 states and get
That'd be
flood
great.
Mike's inbox with all the applications that you can, and have make sure that he has to reorder some hats. Be sure to mention Drive On in the sign up field, and get that application process started. So thank you again, Mike, for being on the show. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today. I really appreciate it. All the links and everything that we talked about are going to be in the show notes, so anyone who needs that, definitely check that out and click through there. But we're going to try to get you more work than you can handle with all
I love it. I
these
love it,
people.
Scott. And I will say this too. Thank you for what you do. This is fantastic. There's more people needed doing what you do too to help our people.
Excellent. Thank you very much, and I really do appreciate your time and coming on the show to share your story and your organization. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.